Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. I love the readings. Well, I love all the readings, but I love these readings today, both from the Old Testament and the New Testament, because they speak to us of the kinds of times in our lives when very, very, very difficult things are asked of us, and it seems very hard to have faith. Can seem almost impossible to have faith. When I've been in that kind of a situation a time or two in my life, and the only thing that I can do is just keep repeating the name of Jesus, just calling out to him with love, calling out to him with my need, calling out to him with pain or with the shock, with the disappointment or whatever it might be, just saying the name of Jesus. He draws very near to us when we call upon his name. Let his name be on your lips. Let his name be most of all branded on your heart, in your mind, in your spirit. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's what St. Paul said. Jesus Christ is Lord. May he be Lord of your life. Call upon him day in and day out. Read Philippians chapter 2. Read Philippians chapter 3. They contain some of the most powerful verses that have increased my faith and my strength. It's Paul proclaiming who Christ is. May his name be on your lips, but most of all, may it be branded on your heart, in your mind, and your spirit. Book of Genesis, chapter 22, verses 1 to 19. Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Isaac grew, and on the day of the child's weaning, Abraham held a great feast. Sarah noticed the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham playing with her son Isaac, so she demanded of Abraham, "Drive out that slave and her son. No son of that slave is going to share the inheritance with my son Isaac." My goodness, brothers and sisters. Listen to that. We read last week. We read about Abraham. We read about Lot, we read about Sarah, we saw all that they were enduring, we saw their anger with each other and the strife and the tension, and it just keeps building. She demanded of Abraham, "Drive out that slave and her son, no son of that slave is going to share the inheritance with my son Isaac." Abraham was greatly distressed, especially on account of his son Ishmael. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed about the boy or about your slave woman. Heed the demands of Sarah, no matter what she is asking of you. For it is through Isaac that descendants shall bear your name. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a great nation of him also, since he too is your offspring." So early the next morning, Abraham got some bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. And then placing the child on her back, he sent her away. As she roamed aimlessly in the wilderness of Beersheba, the water in the skin was used up. So she put the child down under a shrub and then went away and sat down opposite him about a bow shot away, for she said to herself, "Let me not watch to see the child die." As she sat opposite Ishmael, he began to cry. And God heard the boy's cry. And God's messenger called to Hagar from heaven, "What is the matter, Hagar? Don't be afraid. God has heard the boy's cry in this plight of his. Arise, lift up the boy, hold him by the hand, for I will make of him a great nation." Then God opened their eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water, and then let the boy drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. There's an awful, awful lot here. And I don't have the time in a program like this to develop it thoroughly. But what I do want to say to you is put your trust in God even when circumstances seem like they are so tangled, so confused, so bewildering sometimes that you don't know your way through. Trust him. Listen to him. Obey him. There is a great novena called Our Lady Undoer of Knots that Pope Francis has recommended that we pray. And there are all kinds of knots in our lives that seem as though they can't be untangled. We don't know what to do with them. And this, through jealousy and envy and all kinds of stuff, we have quite a set of circumstances here. But the point is that God looks at the heart, always looks at the heart. God will always have mercy on the heart that is right, as he had on this boy here. God will always have mercy. So don't despair, even when things seem very tangled. Bring them to Jesus. Ask him to help untie the knots. Ask his mother to help you untie the knots. Rely on him. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. The poor are those who know they're not the source of their existence. The poor are those who know where to turn. The poor are those who know they don't have anything that can make a situation better, but they look to the one who can, and they keep their eyes fixed on him. Those are the poor in spirit. Scripture tells us that the poor in spirit will inherit the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 to 34. When Jesus came to the territory of the Gadarenes, two demoniacs who were coming from the tombs met him. They were so savage that no one could travel by that road. They cried out, "What have you to do with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the appointed time?" Notice they knew who he was. Some distance away, a herd of many swine was feeding. The demons pleaded with him, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go then." They came out and entered the swine, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, where they drowned. The swineherds ran away, and when they came to the town, they reported everything, including what had happened to the demoniacs. And thereupon the whole town came out to meet Jesus. When they saw him, they begged him to leave their district. Their whole livelihood, in one sense, had been destroyed by that herd of swine. We don't know what Jesus did about that. But the people begged him to leave. Instead of saying, "Oh my goodness, what just happened is beyond human power. Who are you? Who are you, Jesus of Nazareth?" No, they just wanted to get rid of the difficulty. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, when we try to get rid of a difficulty, even if that difficulty has been resolved in some way, sometimes we push Christ out of the situation and what he wants to do through it. Our natural tendency is whenever there is strife or difficult situation, we just want to solve it quickly. That's good. But before you try to solve it with your human wisdom, you ask God, "What do you want? How do you want to resolve this? What part do you want me to play?" You have a lot more peace, and you'll have a lot more wisdom because you've tapped into the fount of all wisdom. And that's what God wants to do for us. Brothers and sisters, I want to take a few moments here just to encourage you to go to our website, renewalministries.net. I want you to take a look, take advantage. We have many new products. We've got some new booklets that are coming out. We've got some CDs that will be coming out and DVDs in the next few weeks. So just begin to take a look at the website. Even if you say, I look at that website, or I listen to your program through your website, whatever, that's great. Please continue to do so. But I would urge you to check it every once in a while, because we do go for a while offering the same products. But if you go to the bookstore, you can see a whole range of our products. And as I said, we're beginning to put some new products on the market, so to speak, now and in the next few weeks. So I urge you to go to our website, renewalministries.net. Just check it out. Because, brothers and sisters, we've got some challenges facing us in the government of our country, We have challenges facing us in the church. We have challenges facing us in our own families, our own loved ones. We have challenges facing us in some of our own personal relationships. And we actually have challenges going on within ourselves. It's a time of upheaval. In whom do I believe? What is the foundation of my life? Where am I going? Why did God create me? What is this all about? Those kinds of questions. And they are questions that need answers. And they're questions that Ralph Martin and Peter Herbeck and I have asked ourselves a long time. And we've tried to pull together, both from ourselves and from others, those booklets, books, CDs, workbooks, all kinds of things, DVDs, just all kinds of things that could be helpful. And I ask if you would really think, what do I need? What do I really need? And then go to the website and take a look at what's offered and say to yourself, maybe that will help me. Be strategic about it. Don't just, oh, well, this is new, I should get it. Well, we'd be glad if you got it, but that's not the point. The point is, what do I need to grow? Does my character need some shoring up? Is my prayer life in shambles? Do I realize that my priorities are out of order? Am I not truly a Christian? I say I am, but am I honestly a Christian? Am I living that way in thought, word, and deed? No matter how many struggles, if you're striving for it, you're in good company. Or have I just put that aside and I just use Christian or Catholic as the label of my life? But do I really live it? There was a saying many years ago that used to go around, if I were accused and put on trial of being a Christian, would I be found guilty? Would my life reflect that I really am a Christian? I think we need to ask ourselves that, especially in these times. We need Christians, we need Catholics who can stand up and say what they believe, say it in peace, say it simply, say it lovingly, that you want other people to know the good news that you have. And when we do it in that kind of spirit, many times a door will open, even a crack. And if that door opens even a crack, God can get in. So please take seriously being a good steward of your life. You know, a steward checks always what he has in the food pantry, what's needed. Does he have everything to take care of the family that he's the servant of? And well, we need to do that with our own lives. Do I have working in my life? Do I have in my life what is needed to be able? Yes, I need to put my will behind it, but I have the tools to be able to be truly a Christian, truly a disciple of Jesus Christ. If I don't have all those tools, there are many places on the web that you can look that will give you some good tools, but I particularly tell you, check out renewalministries.net. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.